This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:06. I'm Mark Bailey with Cameron Eisenberg producing. Thank you for joining us on this Friday, the 8th of August. With the temperature starting to climb back upwards again, more sunshine today. Could get into the mid to upper 90s, it sounds like, on a Sunday. But here's what we got going on for today on the show. First part of the show, Wasco County Community Development Managing Director Kelly Housley Glover will be with us. Good talk about a subject she discussed with the County Commission on Wednesday, and that is revolving around the changing state regs and what it means for local governments on solar projects and where those go and what FSEC can ignore out of county land use, things like that. So we are going to talk to Kelly about what's a very, very confusing subject, including the planners around the state. Second half of the program, Columbia Gorge Discovery Center Executive Director Dr. Cheryl Rager will join us. We'll get an update on where the Discovery Center is in the process of trying to get reopened. Last we were told they were looking at late August to get reopened in the aftermath of the Rowena fire. We'll see from Cheryl how that is progressing. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. It's going to be fairly quick here because I know Kelly's going to have a limited time. We've got to get her off the show by 8:30. So we'll mention a few things here. 1815, Napoleon Bonaparte set sail for St. Helena to spend the remainder of his days in exile. 1876, Thomas Edison received a patent for his electric pen, the forerunner of the mimeograph machine. 1908, Wilbur Wright makes the Wright brothers' first public flying demonstration at Le Mans race course in France. This day in 1969, photographer Ian McMillan took the iconic photo of the Beatles that would appear on the cover of their album Abbey Road. 1974, President Richard Nixon, facing damaging new revelations in the Watergate scandal, announced he would resign the following day. 2009, Sonia Sotomayor was sworn in as U.S. Supreme Court's first Hispanic and third female justice. And this day in 2023, a series of wind-driven wildfires broke out on the Hawaiian island of Maui, destroying the town of Lahaina and killing more than 100. Days for today, it's Odie Day. This is the day celebrating Odie, the character in the Garfield comic strip, the happy little dog. It is Global Sleep Under the Stars Night. It's International Cat Day today. It is National Dollar Day. This was the day actually Congress set up our monetary system back in the late 1700s. And it is the date to create, whatever you want that to mean. Food today, it's National Frozen Custard Day today, National Zucchini Day today, and in combination with that is also Sneak Some Zucchini Onto Your Neighbor's Porch Day today. Because if you grow zucchini, those things grow prolifically. We all have received zucchini from somebody at some time. I prefer it in the form of bread, by the way. If you want to make the zucchini bread and bring it to me, all in favor of it. That's what we got for what it's worth. Want to be a little quick with that this morning. It's 8:08, more Mid-Columbia Today right after this.
Bring the beauty of nature into your home with DeWills Cabinetry's new paint color palette. A stunning collection inspired by the serene, restorative hues of the great outdoors. From earthy tones to vibrant hues, these colors create spaces that feel calm, harmonious, and timeless. Explore the new collection and discover the perfect shade for your home at Adams Design Center, home of DeWills Cabinets at 319 East 2nd Street in the Dalles, or visit us online at adamsdesigncenter.com.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
Discover the peace of mind you've been searching for at Flagstone Senior Living in the Dalles. Flagstone offers everything from independent living to specialized memory care, all in one welcoming community. Enjoy restaurant-style dining, engaging activities, and freedom from home maintenance, all while staying close to downtown shops and outdoor adventures. At Flagstone, you're not just choosing a place to live, you're choosing a place to thrive. Find us on Facebook at Flagstone Senior Living or visit us on Columbia View Drive in the Dalles.
At Pierstoke Sports, we've got what you need for your kind of fun in the gorge. Trails, wind, water. We have the hottest pair of wings from Ozone in stock now. Plus, smoking hot wing foil packages. Woo-hee! Ice axes, crampons, and skins for your mountaineering adventures are here. Our camping department is fully stocked with Deuter backpacks and waste packs for mountaineering, day hikes, trail running, and more. Plus, skateboards as well as complete decks. Shop for fun. Shop Pierstoke. New and used gear for four seasons of adventure.
DQ presents The Sound of Happy. Hear that? That's the DQ Chicken Strip Basket. Only $7.49 for a limited time. We're talking four 100% white meat seasoned chicken strips served with fries, Texas toast, and DQ signature country gravy. Yeah, you heard that right. For crunch time and no time, it can only be the DQ Chicken Strip Basket. Just $7.49 for a limited time. Get it delivered in the DQ app. Happy tastes good. At participating locations.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
It is 8:12 in the morning of Mid-Columbia Today. We've got with us now Wasco County Community Development Managing Director Kelly Housley-Glover. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Mark.
Thanks for coming on. And Wednesday before the county commission, you had a chance to talk with a panel about a very confusing subject. I know I was confused watching it. And having said that, it sounds like all of you in the planning business are confused by it also, which is a little bit of trepidation here. But the bottom line being, we're talking about how this state makes decisions on where you can site solar farms, solar power facilities. And I guess maybe first of all, some background, a court case is involved in this.
So the court case is not directly involved in the solar siting standards. The legislature passed some edicts for the Department of Land Conservation and Development to develop some new solar siting standards in eastern Oregon to address sort of the proliferation of these types of projects and make it a little bit easier for local jurisdictions to review rather than having to kick them up to the Energy Facility Siting Council. And as you shared, the rules that they've developed are very, very confusing, even to those of us who are professionals and live and work in this space. And I think so we wanted to share that that piece. There is the court case that came out of UMatilla, went to the Oregon Supreme Court, is relevant to some of our resident concerns about the distance between their homes and potential projects. So that's where that kind of came into the conversation.
Yeah, I bring that one up in particular because, I mean, if I understood this correctly, what the court ruled was that the Energy Facility Siting Council of the state of Oregon can basically, they don't have to, if a county rule, I guess, on solar issues, like the setbacks you mentioned. If they are not, cannot be tied to a particularly state land to a state land use standard, then FSEC doesn't have to consider them. Is that right?
That is what the Supreme Court of Oregon found. Yes.
Here was my just reaction, just hearing that. And maybe I'm completely off base here, is if FSEC can do that, it makes me start to think, and I've watched this in Washington, by the way, with a particular one, where it looks like to me that in Washington, at least, you can just go to the state and forget the local level. I started to wonder, is that where we're headed for in Oregon, where the local, because of political goals for renewable energy, and I'm not saying those are good or bad, but because of those starting to override what local governments are trying to do.
That is definitely the concern among planning professionals in the state, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what makes these the rules? I'll step back here because I may have confused everybody now, too. It's easy to confuse yourself, by the way, on this subject. You mentioned the sets of rules that the local governments are being basically asked to adopt here or opt into. What makes these so confusing? I mean, what are they asking to do?
So they're asking to increase the threshold, like the size of these facilities, mm-hmm. that the counties can review, because there has been restrictions on, like a low level size on what counties can review, and then if they are larger than that, they have to go straight to the FSEC process. So mm-hmm. that's the first piece, is to make it easier to cite these things using local rule. And the thought from developers is that it'll be quicker and also more cost effective, mm-hmm. because the FSEC process takes years and is very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. The issue, another couple issues mm-hmm. are most solar projects and wind projects are sited out on exclusive farm use land, yeah. So agricultural land. And so they have to take a goal exception. Mm-hmm. And so this rule is supposed to give some pathways towards what's being called agricultural mitigation. So some kind of recognition of agricultural impacts, and then there's supposed to be a mitigation effort. So whether that's compensation to the local government or it's some kind of other strategy, that's mm-hmm. what this rule is trying to guide.
Mm-hmm. So what your advice to the Wasco County Commission, and they acted on this, was to opt out of these rules. So what does that mean for Wasco County right now, should you get applications for these type of solar farms?
It means that we are allowed to still review under the normal rules, so the normal thresholds, or we're still allowed to kick things that are larger to FSEC. So we're maintaining the status quo for Wasco County mm-hmm. right now until we can spend more time accessing the relevant data and really analyzing what the impacts will be for the county.
Do you feel that the status quo rules are in place right now? Do you feel at this point, I know you're trying to do analysis on this, and I know it's difficult, mm-hmm. but right now, are those sufficient right now? Because there's so many varied interests in this, but from the desire to have more renewable energy to also the desire to preserve ag land and frankly not encroach on ways of life from people who are living in these areas. Are the status quo rules right now sufficient to handle all that?
Staff feels like we have a better handle on how to go through that, navigate that process mm-hmm. than we did several years ago. So yeah. Whether it addresses all of the various, impacted folks' concerns, I don't think that there's ever going to be a process that does exactly that. But sure. I think what the confidence that I've had from both my staff, but also partners in the county, like the sheriff's office, is that we now know how to navigate the process, and we've gotten a lot better and really good at trying to address what some of the county concerns are. So we'd like to not change it up until we have more data to suggest that we could maybe address more concerns, if that makes sense.
And out of that, you know, again, the county commission went with the recommendation to opt out of the new set of rules, but that does not preclude the county from opting in at some point, correct?
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. So once we're able to have the data that's relevant to this new criteria and mm-hmm. analyze it and kind of look at what the impacts could be and really understand that, we'll be able to bring it back to the board and give them a presentation and have them decide on a direction. Mm-hmm. So opting out now doesn't preclude future opting in, but what it does is it essentially buys us time because otherwise the rules go into effect in January and mm-hmm. we're not prepared to implement in a few months.
That also lends to the question, because goodness knows that you've got a lot of stuff going on with that planning department right now. Where does this kind of line up in terms of priorities for the resources that you have in the county planning department? You've got Rowena fire issues certainly coming down the pike, along with some of the reviews you've been doing as it is. What's realistic for your staff to be able to do in an analysis here and as far as a timeline?
I think that if we can have access to the relevant data, we could probably accomplish something in about a year to 2 years, mm-hmm. and that's realistic for our team. But as you said, we are really all hands on deck to respond to the Rowena fire and help support recovery, mm-hmm. and that includes everything from helping individual impacted folks with applications, but also I'll be going to the Gorge Commission next month to propose a National Scenic Area Management Plan update. So mm-hmm. Our capacity is stretched pretty thin. And then we have the Transportation Systems Plan for the whole county being updated next year. So as you mentioned, we have a mm-hmm. lot of things that they've been in motion for a number of years. And then on top of that, we have the fire recovery mm-hmm. that we're committed to supporting residents through. So not a lot of time to look at NRT right now.
And so I'll move on to that Rowena fire real quick. I know we got limited time here. I know you said you're limited at this point as far as kind of what we know at this stage, but you know, in terms of trying to help people be able to rebuild, because we are dealing with scenic area issues, what are you telling folks right now as far as steps they should take if they've been impacted by this fire?
Yeah. So we will be holding an information session with all three, we're calling them development services departments. So that would be Environmental Health Services on-site program, so for septic and well. That would be Building Code Services and then the Planning Division that helps navigate the scenic area rules. We'll be holding that on August 27th, Wednesday at 5 p.m. in the board chambers, and then that will also be accessible online. And really what the theme of that night is going to be that because of some of the unique parts of that community, the size of the lots, the age of the homes, and then some of these scenic area rules, that we're really stressing that it's important for impacted folks to come make appointments and meet with us directly on a case-by-case basis. I can't stress that enough. There's not really a one-size-fits-all solution for everybody. So one of the things that we'll be doing at that info session on the 27th is we have some blocks of time, hour blocks, where all three departments will be on-site, and we want to work as a team with property owners to look at their individual properties. So we're trying to avoid making folks go from one place to one place to one place and all sit at the table looking at these comprehensively. This is a new model for us, but mm-hmm. we're hoping that that reduces some of the fatigue I know that impacted residents have being hopped from service to service. So mm-hmm. that's really our goal. But again, can't stress enough, really important to meet one-on-one because we're going to need to look at these things on an individual property basis.
And you mentioned you're going to go to the Gorge Commission for a management plan update. What will you be proposing?
So I'm finalizing what the proposal looks like, and I'll have a staff report and a presentation ready. And some of the things that we'll be focusing on are there is a replacement provision for houses impacted by disaster. It hasn't been tested a ton in the National Scenic Area, and what we've identified is that it essentially creates a situation where most folks are going to have to go through a full scenic area review, and some of the timelines make it really challenging. So what we've tried to do is compare some of the options that are open in the state versus what we can do in the scenic area and request some revisions. So one really good example is in Oregon, we can permit folks to live in an RV on property for up to 5 years after a disaster. It's only 60 days in the National Scenic Area. So we'll be looking for some kind of state corollary to allow folks the time and space to recover on site, because we know that's important in an RV, until they can get ready for redevelopment. So that's one example. Another example is the language requires kind of a lengthy a comment period, an appeal period, and we'd like to shorten and truly expedite that permit. We've got one in the pipe right now that staff is reviewing. We are working our hardest to achieve a 45-day review period. That's the minimum amount of time we could get it through. So we're working really, really hard. We'd like to cut that down by 12 or 15 days. So if we could get it in a month, we think that's going to be more palatable for folks, but it is going to take some plan amendments. So we're very, very committed to doing that. And then we have a couple additional, I think, in the weeds provisions, but I am happy to discuss that with folks. And our staff report, we're trying to get that out pretty quickly so folks can review and give feedback.
One more question here, because I know you got to run. It's based just off the Klickitat County Commission. I was observing their meeting here a couple weeks ago when a couple of Gorge Commission planners and Christina Wolnikowski came out, were there. I got the impression that if someone wanted to rebuild pretty much just on the same footprint, basically rebuild what they had, I got the impression, and I know Klickitat County is different because there's all sorts of different issues there with the Gorge Commission, but the bottom line I took out of that was if you just wanted to rebuild what you had already on the same footprint, that there is somewhat of a streamline, that there's a streamlined process for that. Is that correct, or is that maybe a little bit of a misread of this?
My staff's impression is that there are probably a really small percentage of folks that could experience that provision in in a truly expedited fashion. But there are some elements to that criteria, like wall height, that if a home is burned down, we don't have access to that information, particularly in Rowena. Most of the homes were mid-20th century homes. So I think as we've grappled with actual real-life case scenarios, we're seeing that, again, some of that language is going to be really really difficult to actually process expedited. So that's, again, why we're requesting a plan amendment.
Kelly Housley-Glover, Community Development Managing Director, Wasco County. I know you've got to run at 8:30, so we'll get you out of here. Kelly, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it as usual.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really, really appreciate the opportunity.
8:28 in the morning. We'll come back and take a look at the news after this.
Join us on Saturday, September 6th to kick off the 115th world famous Pendleton Roundup for a Don't Want to Miss co-headliner concert featuring country music icons Tracy Lawrence.
If the world had a front porch like we did back then,
and Rodney Atkins.
Makes me want to take a back road. Makes me want to take the long road.
Legendary country music star Tracy Lawrence and chart-topping hitmaker Rodney Atkins will perform Under the Stars in the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena, presented by Vegetation Solutions.
Find out who your friends are. Somebody's going to drop
it. Tickets are on sale now at www.pendletonroundup.com. Tracy Lawrence and Rodney Atkins co-headlining Pendleton Roundup in the famous Happy Canyon Arena. Get your tickets now at PendletonRoundup.com.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bicoastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus, and it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com to tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's, Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating and Air, Bimart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:30 in the morning. We'll have Dr. Cheryl Rager from Columbia Gorge Discovery Center coming with us on the show in just a few minutes. But first, let's take a look at what's in the news. We mentioned the Rowena Fire. The Wasco County Sheriff's Office says the first phase of Rowena Fire cleanup, removing household hazardous waste from fire-impacted properties, has been completed, and the recovery effort is entering an interim phase while residents to return and survey their properties before Phase 2 cleanup operations begin. During the interim period, property owners will have the opportunity to survey for any personal belongings or items they wish to preserve, document remaining debris, coordinate with insurance adjusters, and prepare for Phase 2 that will focus on final debris removal and site cleanup, soil remediation, final safety clearances, and preparation to rebuild. But when Phase 2 will start is unknown. County officials say it is contingent on funding approval, which they are advocating for. They add Phase 2 will begin as soon as the funds are secured. Crews were able to get under control a late Thursday afternoon fire southeast of the Dalles in the area of the 2500 block of Steel Road. Three single-engine scoopers were mobilized to help ground crews contain the fire driven by strong winds that forced evacuation advisories in the nearby area for a short time. The fire also shut down a portion of Highway 197 and 8 Mile Road. It was blown to the southeast by 25 to 30 mile per hour winds, but crews kept the fire west of Highway 197 and north of 5 Mile Road. Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue said the fire remaining in patrol status through today. Operations at the City of the Dalles Wastewater Treatment Plant are improving but are not yet back in compliance after a recent plant upset that resulted in discharge to the Columbia River of treated wastewater exceeding the plant's limit for E. coli. Samples were taken on Wednesday at five different locations in the Columbia River to determine the effect of the discharge on water quality in the river. The five samples taken between River Mile 186.5 and 189.5 show E. coli levels at the sample locations were well below bacterial criteria set by the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality for Freshwater Recreation. City Manager Matthew Cleaves emphasized on Thursday, E. coli levels are exceeding DEQ limits only within the wastewater treatment plant. However, as a precaution, signs do remain in place at locations of public river access until the discharge from the wastewater treatment plant returns to compliance. More election returns from Tuesday's Washington primary election, but really no change in anything in Clickat and Skamania counties. The Fort Vancouver Regional Library levy lid lift, that of course includes Clark and Cowlitz counties, being approved by 54% of voters, 54,117 to 45,762. Bingen, 0.1% sales tax increase for public safety, being approved 86-16. Stevenson had three races in which they had three candidates to narrow down to two for the general election. For mayor, Jenny Collins-Taylor, 418 votes. Scott Anderson, 202. Lucy E.J. Lauser with 25. City Council position one, Tina Van Pelt, 473 votes. Lashiel Springer, 116. Christy Morris with 47. Stevenson City Council position two, Aaron Theresa Minnis at 339. Jeff Breckel, 206. Paul Goins with 88. Our weather, it is going to be sunny today, highs in the 80s, west winds to about, 10 miles per hour, might get to 15 in the western part of the gorge. Current temperatures, 59 in Hood River, 60 in the Dalles. It is 8:33 in the morning. More Mid-Columbia today, right after this.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Get ready for four unforgettable days of tradition and fun at the Wasco County Fair and Rodeo, August 14th through the 17th at Wasco County Fairgrounds in Ty Valley, just north of Maupin. And don't miss the NPRA Rodeo with new arena fencing, plus live music after the rodeo. Admission is just $15 for adults, $10 for kids 6 to 12, and free for kids under 5. Multi-day passes available? Grab your tickets now at wascocountyfair.com. That's wascocountyfair.com.
I lost count of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new room, a new bed, a new routine with a new family. But never a space that really felt like mine. Eventually, I didn't even bother unpacking, because moving again was never an if. It was always a when.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a forever family and a permanent home of their own.
When I was 15, I didn't have anywhere to go for the holidays. So my high school principal invited me to stay with his family. It was just supposed to be for a few weeks, but soon they asked me to stay forever as their daughter. Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. It's kind of a tornado, but it's my tornado. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
Before I go to our next guest, I'm not sure we ever really mentioned it. Kelly Housley Glover talked about the Rowena Fire Impacted Community Information Session that is going to take place on Wednesday that involves development services, building, planning, and on-site. I don't think really gave where that was going to be. And this is for those impacted by the Rowena Fire. That will be this Wednesday. Or, I'm sorry, Wednesday, August 27th. Wednesday, August 27th, so still a couple weeks away. 5 to 6 at the County Commission Boardroom, 401 East 3rd in the Dalles. That's their new location, of course. And you enter on Federal Street. They'll have a presentation, a chance for impacted community members to sign up for appointments with all three departments, and a virtual attendance option for those joining remotely. Again, that'll be August 27th, 5 to 6 in the Wasco County Commission Boardroom, the Rowena Fire Impacted Community Information Session involving building, planning, and on-site development departments. And that'll be at 401 East 3rd in the Dalles on the 27th. We now turn to the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. Dr. Cheryl Rager is going to join us now, their executive director. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Mark. It's nice to be here again.
Nice to have you with us once again. And, well, when you were here about a month ago on the program, you mentioned that kind of a goal of late August to get reopened. How are things going?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The goals, the goalposts seem to change almost daily for me, but that is happening less often now, and we are definitely entering what I would call our next phase. The last of the cleaning is happening in the museum. We have to wait for all the equipment to be moved out from the cleaners, and an inspection follows that to make sure that they've done their job and gotten all of the bad particulates out. And then once that's done, we also need to make sure we have the outside safely secured. You know, the fire burned right down along the riverside, the fencing along there. So it's kind of interesting. The posts still stand and the fencing is still up, but the posts have definitely been burned and will have to be replaced. I'm hopeful we don't have to wait until that's all done before we can reopen. We have cold air conditioning again blowing through the building, and my staff has been in there for the last full week, a little bit more than a week. We're doing lots of freshening up things, giving the store some new organization and some cleaning. The exhibits are getting a new look. So I'm just way excited to be able to invite people back in, and I expect it to be within the next week or two. I don't want to give a day yet and then find out that we have to do something else first, but we're getting really close.
You mentioned with the fencing outside the area. You say you don't want to have to wait for that, but who kind of makes that call? Is there somebody other than the Discovery Center in your management structure that you have to satisfy to make that decision you can reopen?
Well, that is a great question. This is another one of those learning things for me. I'm going to base my call on what the executive board, the leadership that we have working on the outdoor spaces, and the insurance company that I'm working with in terms of liability. Those are the main constituents that I know that would be part of that decision. But that's a really good question, and I will count on their support to tell me if there is anybody else that we need to check in with on that.
I'd say, my camp of thinking was, if there was that concern, is there an option to somehow, and I'm not nearly familiar enough with your footprint to necessarily know this, but where you could bring temporary fencing in to fence off the area you're concerned about, not allow public access to it, and allow your regular facility to be open?
Exactly. That's exactly the kind of thing that I'm thinking of as well, and we, you know, it's just another next step. It seems like all of my next steps come, you know, in groups. So, but I think certainly we'll be able to get there, certainly before it's all completed. In any case, there are really just a couple of key areas that I'm concerned about. So I don't think that's going to slow us down.
Yeah. Now, of course, in the fall in particular, you know, the Discovery Center tends to have a number of different events they have every year.
Yes.
Is that calendar being impacted at this point? I mean, even if you do get open in a week or two?
We're still evaluating how it's going to be impacted, what we can still accomplish given the schedules that we do have that are solidly in place, and what, you know, quite honestly, my staff can handle after all of the hubbub that we've been going through. But we do know that we have some key things. We have on August 23rd, even if the whole museum isn't open yet, we're opening up the theater to the Dalles Overground, which will feature some music and some nature scenes that go along with the music. In September, probably the most exciting thing on my calendar coming up, September 7th, we'll be opening a new exhibit called A Sense of Place, which is a giant exhibit in not a giant space that focuses on the longtime Wasco Imperial Stock Ranch and the many aspects of history, restorative farming practices, carbon neutral land use, the wool industry and how that has evolved over time. All kinds of things will be taught in that exhibit space. Plus, it'll be interactive and an opportunity for people to see how the wool process happens in its different phases and to touch the wool. To look at some of the end products of the wool. So it's going to be really exciting, and I'm happy that we are able to stay on schedule with that opening.
And, of course, all this also then curls into what we talked about earlier on, which is financial impact for the Discovery Center, because let's face it, you will miss the core tourism season, essentially. You'll catch me. If you get home in a couple of weeks, you'll catch kind of the shoulder in the fall. I guess, first of all, because you mentioned insurance companies, Do you have insurance coverage for that? I'm betting you probably that mm-hmm. probably is not available. But is there? I mean, do you have some backup here?
Well, that I appreciate that question. Mm-hmm. We do have some backup on it, and it is a process we have to put together and negotiate with the insurance company. What our lost income, what our lost revenue would be for this time. And of course, some of that's pretty straightforward. As you say, there's mm-hmm. some regular tour groups that come through that we've missed out on. There are events, of course, that would have been held, weddings and conferences and meetings of all sorts. So all of that stuff we have to gather together the information, and then we'll have to negotiate with the insurance company. But yes, it's a bit of a struggle right now trying to figure out how to juggle all of the things that are, you know, we still have power and electricity bills and water bills and, you know, all the other things that everybody would have. Unlike some of our neighbors, though, we are lucky enough that we do have some insurance coverage, and we are incredibly grateful for that. We've spent a lot to insure ourselves, and now we're needing to use some of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. We'll be okay.
How is all this? And this may get back to the outdoor part again, though, here, because mm-hmm. you've got your educational programs as well, and you know, September will be here and school time again. On the how is this impacting the educational side of the Discovery Center?
Well, so the education team has been incredibly busy and incredibly productive this year. Thanks to Danny Cosgrove and Brittany Gitch and their team, they had already planned for summer programs. Some of them were scheduled off-site. Some of them were scheduled on-site. But the ones that were scheduled on-site, they found other homes, including the Dalles Middle School, to hold some of it. They've been out teaching swimming and going fishing and going on hikes with kids, some of whom maybe never get that kind of opportunity. Some of them are, you know, kids that maybe are only here in this area part of the year, and so they've provided these opportunities for learning and growth that go beyond just in a, you know, school-seated area. So the education team has been busy in their programs all summer long. And they are continuing to plan for that. They've been out this week. And once school starts back, I think that we will be set or really close to set to welcoming back in those school visitors.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about, of course, the cleanup. And what makes cleanup, of course, a little more challenging for a facility like yours is that you have in your care exhibits of artifacts mm-hmm. from the history of this mm-hmm. region. How have those come out of all this? I mean, you know, again, your building, you know, was fairly well spared out of this fire, but mm-hmm. but you had the smoke issues.
We did have, and you know, of course, that was probably right up there with one of my first concerns once I knew all of the people were safe. We made a decision, the board made a decision about 3 years ago before I was here to install in our collections area, not the exhibits, but the collections area where all the things that aren't out on exhibit are stored. They made a decision to put in a separate mini split system that keeps the air at the right temperatures and at the right humidities. And that may be the best decision that has ever been made mm-hmm. because that really saved our collections room. It was a completely separate area. It stayed on. Our backup power kept it on. And so our collections area is in really strong shape, which is just a blessing. our exhibits, the things in the exhibits did have to be mitigated to some extent. And what they found when they were doing that is there are areas where, like, we have emergency doors. And so in those areas, the soot was more able to get in. And so there were areas that did need some remediation. But a lot of it turned out to just be cleaning, just getting the dust off. So we ended up lucky, and our exhibits are in really good shape. I think the worst thing that probably happened to them was having no power in there and the heat. Mm-hmm. I know that we keep track of it, and in one particular space, it got up, you know, around 100 degrees at one point. So we are very, very happy to have our air conditioning back on and protecting in that way.
Dr. Cheryl Rager from the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center with us. And Cheryl, as we wrap this one up here on this interview, as you mentioned, you're hoping here very soon to open up. You know, can't put a date on it yet, but I assume if people keep following your website, gorgediscovery.org, and your Facebook page, that you'll make an announcement here hopefully fairly soon.
Yes, that's my plan too. And just between me and you and everybody who's listening, our hope is Labor Day weekend that will be available, even if maybe it's not the whole building. But, you know, we know that's an important weekend and lots coming through. So that's a little hint out there.
Okay. All right. Cheryl, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your time again.
8:50 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We'll come back to wrap things up after this.
Have you considered a path as a massage therapist or working in the beauty industry as an esthetician creating beautiful, bold lash and brow looks? Gorge Academy's massage and aesthetics programs start August 25th. 6-month program, 3 days a week with affordable monthly payments. Enjoy our small class sizes in massage to personalize your experience. And this fall only, get aesthetics training in modern trends like dermaplaning, chemical peels, and sugaring. Why wait to start your rewarding career? Enroll now. Visit gorgeacademy.com for program details.
There's still time to save at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Pick up a copy of our latest mailer in-store. Ariat Rebar Cotton Strong Tees are $5 off. All Roper Western Boots are 20% off. Hydro Force's Trek X3 Raft Set is just $59.99. And save $10 on Greenie's 36-ounce dental chews. Save store-wide through Tuesday, August 12th at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Northwest. Homegrown. Honest values.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bicoastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus. And it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com to tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's, Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, Bimart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:53 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Some things going on in the area. History Museum, Hood River County this evening. Their Embrace the Wild Wind guest speaker series continues with Fiona Wild on paddleboarding. That'll be at 7 o'clock this evening. The museum in Port Marina Park, $8 for members, $10 for non-members. Information at hoodriverhistorymuseum.org. Cruise the Gorge, of course. Tonight, the Neon Cruise, 7 o'clock through downtown the Dalles. And anybody can take part in that. It's what they call an open cruise. It means that the streets are open and operating as they usually do. We will have on one of our stations here, on 1300 AM and 103.9 FM. Primarily, we do that because this the 1300 AM, a lot of these classic cars only have AM radios in them because they're classic cars. older, 50s, 60s, etc. But also on 93.5 FM, we will have some cruise music playing for you from 6 to 9. So our Jonathan Ross is curating that as we speak, putting that together to make sure it's ready to go so we can bring that to you for about 3 hours on this evening. And then the show on the Shannis Roses Park, 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and the Duford Classic Car Show down in Duford. It's Duford Threshing Bee Weekend, and that'll be Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in Duford Community Park. Wasco County Historical Society's program is Paula Kuttner playing tribute to local historians, 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday at the backyard of the Moody Rorick House on 300 West 13th in the Dalles. And Missoula Children's Theater performance of Princess and the Pea is Saturday at 3 and 5:30 at the Columbia Center for the Arts in Hood River. Tickets are available at columbiaarts.org. 8:54 in the morning. We'll wrap things up after this.
When I found out my son was using marijuana, I thought it was just part of adolescence.
Lots of teens and young people get high.
But then I found out how powerful today's concentrates are.
I couldn't believe it.
It's far more powerful than weed from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
When teens use vapes or dabs, the potency can be 80 to 100% THC.
THC can cause addiction, hallucinations, paranoia, anxiety, and cannabis-induced psychosis in youth.
For teens and young adults, marijuana use comes with increased risks
of suicidal thoughts, planning, and attempts.
And these high THC products can be bought almost anywhere,
from gas stations to dispensaries. I had no idea.
Talk to your children well before they experiment with today's potent THC products.
Get educated. Help them understand the dangers are real.
Just say no. K-N-O-W. Go to justsayno.org today for the facts.
A public service message from Johnny's Ambassadors.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 1039 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. Monday morning on our radio program, Jacob Anderson is going to be here from the Hood River White Salmon Bridge Authority Board. We'll talk about some of the latest things that have happened in regard to the effort to get a new Hood River White Salmon Bridge. There have been some positive developments of late. Also, Port of the Dalles Executive Director Andrea Claus will be with us Tuesday. Hood River County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer, Administrator Allison Williams. We'll talk some, hopefully at least, about the latest transportation package effort by Governor Tina Kotek, which she has proposed, and we'll try to find out really what does it do for the local folks. And also, Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee will probably do the same thing with him as well. And on Wednesday on the show, we expect Charles Young with us. Upper Hood River Valley preparedness is going to be a topic because there's going to be an event on the 14th at Solera Brewing in Parkdale, 5 o'clock on the 14th, to talk about the Upper Hood River Valley and its specific needs for being prepared for wildfire. Plus, we'll talk Hood River County Health Department. That means our friend Darren Ryan will be joining us on the show. So all sorts of things coming up on Mid-Columbia Today during the course of the next few days in the early part of the week. Currently 61 degrees in the Dalles and 60 in Hood River. As it's going to be fair week next week also, too. We've got the Wasco County Fair next week in Tie Valley, Klickitat County Fair in Goldendale, and the Skamania County Fair in Stevenson. They're all going on. Skamania is Wednesday through Saturday, I believe. Klickitat and Wasco, they go more the Thursday through Sunday model. But it's going to be a festive time, it appears, with all those fairs going on next week in the counties. Of course, Hood River County did their fair a couple weeks ago. They always go a little ahead of everybody in late July. But we're done. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
How's Tommy doing now?
Much better.
You said it was-